Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How are you today on this semi-Friday? I am Bob Light. I will be sitting in for the Bobster here for the next couple of days, getting to play radio and hang with you, which is just one of my very, very favorite things to get to do. And I was laughing about it while I was doing show prep. There certainly is no lack of material to discuss today. So over the next 4 hours, I really do hope that you will join me in this endeavor and be part of this conversation. And of course, it doesn't have to be verbal. It can be textual. It's an interesting thing I've noticed that over the years of doing talk radio, of course, I was doing talk radio before texting even existed back in the 70s and the 80s. And I've watched since I've been filling in for Bob over these last 10 years or 12 years or however long it's been, how the phone calls seem to drop off in lieu of the number of texts that come in. So I suspect that will probably be where a lot of your responses come from today, texts. And that's easy to do. Go to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, which is 71307. You can call us at 800-347-1063 as well. And, of course, love the verbal interaction. I'll tell you, on texting, this is just an observation. But have you ever noticed how easy it is to be misinterpreted or to misinterpret texts that people send you or that you send to people? This has happened to me more than once. And I think part of it is I know that there are so many subtleties when you are speaking with someone verbally, tone of voice, kind of the way you say things. And you can't get any of those subtleties into a text. And it's kind of sad in a way that so much of modern communication, particularly when it comes to the younger cohort of our population, is being done by text and not verbally. I was having lunch a couple days ago at a restaurant, and within our purview of what I could see there were at least three tables where young people were texting back and forth and not talking to one another. And I'm sure you've seen the same thing. So anyway, not even to mention the insanity of what happens on the roads out there now. How many times have you almost been run off a road or had to sit beside some boat that was waiting there texting after the light had changed? But I digress. Okay, so it would appear that we are in the middle of a full-blown race scandal that our president, apparently, if you listen to the mainstream press and the diddly squat that or squad or squat or however you want, that's kind of how I look at him. Everything that has happened is fully racist. In fact, today Ilhan Omar has now gone the next step, and she's calling him a fascist. Obviously, she doesn't know what that word even means or what a fascist type of government actually is, but none of that matters. These are all buzzwords. So I want to start today with kind of an examination of this whole argument that we're racists and all the rest of it. And I'm going to use part of a column from the Wall Street Journal, written by a black man, Jason Riley, and then the title of which is "The Race Card Has Gone Bust." And so he's referring in this, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he makes a couple of just lovely points I want to share. So there was a book in 78 called The Declining Significance of Race. And the guy that wrote it was actually a liberal. And at the time, he outraged a bunch of his fellow liberals. And so today we live in a time where racism and accusations of it are just, that's all you seem to hear at the moment. If you want immigration laws enforced, well, then you're a racist. If you're against slavery reparations, oh, you're a racist. Oh, adding a citizenship question to a census, well, you are a racist. In fact, if you even think that the founding fathers who were white guys, some of whom owned slaves, were good people just because they gave us a Constitution and Bill of Rights and won a revolution and kind of started this whole country on the road, well, you are a racist. And so the Democratic Party has gone full bore on this meme of racism. It is so over the top that last night, as you may know if you've been listening to the station or the news, there was a chant at a North Carolina Trump rally. Somebody just started saying, send her back. And, of course, they were referring to Ilhan Omar. Well, all of this goes back to a Twitter battle that was going on back and forth between Trump and the Diddly Squad girls. And Ilhan Omar, all Trump said, and I would defy you to tell me how this is a racist thing, but all Trump said was essentially, you came from this country whose politics and country is a mess, and all you do is put down and talk about how bad this country, which you immigrated to, how bad that is. Go back to your own country, fix it, and then come back over here and tell us how you did it. That's all he said. There's no way one could construe that as race. Well, there's no way a sensible person could construe this as racist. And for years, people like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell and others have been pointing out the problems in black America, the problems and the pathologies we see in black communities. It's not just in black communities. White working class families, they are having many of the same sorts of problems. But there is something that has gone on, starting with the Great Society and Lyndon Johnson in our country. And what started out ostensibly to be something to help lift up people who in all fairness, had been brutally mistreated in this country, to help them. Well, so we start this Great Society and we create all of these programs, which, just as an aside, you should know this, and not all of this is based on just those programs, but are you aware, this week, there was a story about how our deficit has grown so terribly, and it has, no question. Our debt is out of control. All true, all true. But the spin, as usual, by the mainstream press has been it's Donald Trump's fault. Well, first of all, understand, and I'm sure you do, that the people who decide how the money gets spent, our tax dollars, that's Congress, not Donald Trump. And are you aware that 55% of the total budget goes to health and human services? And we hear all of this ranting by the left about, oh, well, you know, we're spending all this money on the military. And yes, Donald Trump has increased military spending, and that's good. That's his job, is to defend and protect our country. But the military budget, though large, is only 42% of what health and human services is. And those things certainly need to be addressed, but to blame Donald Trump for that is about as silly as blaming Donald Trump for bad race relations in this country, which, and to get back to this article I mentioned by John Riley, which at the moment actually have improved. And to quote here from John Riley, black poverty and employment today seem to be more a function of family formation than white racism. For more than 20 years, black married couples have had poverty rates in the single digits, and black married men have had a higher labor force participation rate than white men who never married. And last year, the labor force participation gap between blacks and whites vanished. First time that's happened since 72. So, family instability and fatherlessness collide with racial and economic disadvantage to create this negative feedback loop. And it hampers children's potential. It is the difference in family structure. And government programs, such as the ones I was talking about, they are not a substitute for developing human capital. So wealth redistribution schemes to lift people out of poverty, if those worked, we would have closed those gaps a long time ago. Well, 50-plus years later, nothing has happened. And still, liberal politicians and activists act as if the whole problem is racism. It isn't. So the question for you then, and I'd love to hear from you on this, what can we do to try to bring some sense of proportion and sanity back to this conversation? To answer that, I'd love to hear. 800-347-1063 and the Common Sense for Planning text line 71307. Tony Dale back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy. Happy semi-Friday to you, sitting in for the Bobster. And if you would like to weigh in on whatever, actually, it doesn't have to be whatever I'm talking about, you may do that on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. That is 71307 or 800-347-1063, and we can talk verbally. So the madness continues, and how we got here, it's always good, I think, to kind of examine how in the world did we end up in this situation where all of a sudden we are at one another's throats over this bogus racism charge? And essentially, what is happening now, basically, is that American history has been rewritten for decades and is continuing to be so, all in the name of political correctness and diversity. And here's a little exercise. You should try this because this will wake you up, and it's going to lead into something I want to talk about later today, the profound danger of what Silicon Valley is capable of doing and what they are planning to do to try to steal this election. We'll get to that later in the show. But try this. Just do a Google search on American inventors, and you're going to be amazed. Do you know, try this, that essentially two inventors of European ancestry are listed in the top 10. You're not going to find Henry Ford. You're not going to find the Wright brothers. You're not even going to find Albert Einstein. But, of course, the algorithm at Google, it's not their fault. No. The problem is that you're going to have people at Google and other places who are essentially creating the Ministry of Truth. So this should be enormously frightening to people because we are, I believe, on the edge of something that could totally transform our government. And I want to give you some proof of all of this. And before I do, I also want to tell you, if you didn't know this, starting Tuesday, the Senate, Ted Cruz was heading this, was doing a series of hearings on what Silicon Valley is trying to do to manipulate the political culture and elections. One of the people that spoke, in fact, Tara had some sound bites from him on this morning. And I'd been following this story. It is shocking. So the fellow's name is Professor Robert Epstein. And so he, among other things, he teaches psychology. He's one of the most respected psychologists. He's the editor of Psychology Today. And so during the hearings, he admitted he voted for Hillary. But this is he told Ted Cruz in these hearings, and this ought to shock you, that Silicon Valley has the potential to deliver 15 million votes to manipulate using algorithms and other invisible means that you couldn't even track to game the system to literally steal an election. And you're not going to hear Facebook or any of the rest doxing any of the Antifa terrorists, but they are more than happy to take people off Facebook they don't agree with. So I'm going to give you some things that are going to absolutely amaze you. Do you know that the policy director at Facebook was Nancy Pelosi's chief of staff before taking that job at Facebook? The head of algorithm policy worked for Hillary at the State Department. The head of content policy worked for Hillary's campaign. The person in charge of privacy policy at Facebook used to work for Al Franken. The director in charge of, quote, countering hate and extremism at Facebook came from the Clinton Foundation. The person at Facebook that drives thought leadership and hate speech content moderation was one of Obama's policy advisors at the White House. And that isn't the end of it, because remember, then you have YouTube. YouTube, of course, is owned by the same people that own Google. Well, policy manager at YouTube. Before he did that, he worked for Hillary for America and was a manager in Obama's campaign. Their global content policy lead previously worked at the DNC. The person responsible for growing the next generation of stars on YouTube worked for the Office of Digital Strategy at the White House, under whom? Obama. Director of Video worked for Obama. There are hundreds of people that are working at Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, that are part of the Democratic deep state. So these progressive Democrats are going to use and are using social media now to literally stifle free speech in this country. That should be the biggest story we're talking about today. It is not. We have a First Amendment right. That's all well and good. And they can't stop speech at the governmental level, because that, of course, would not get past constitutional review. But private companies, they don't need no stinking constitution. This is arguably, in my opinion, one of the most dire and dangerous things that's going on right now. And frankly, most people don't even know it. And I'll tell you another part of this equation that is equally disturbing. We are at a point where people are addicted to social media, and particularly the younger people, the millennials. This is why they're so easily swayed toward thinking that socialism is a wonderful thing. They're losing the capacity to think or read or research deeply. They're living in a world of headlines and sound bites and posts and Twitter bits. None of these things are a substitute for true, deep knowledge, which is only acquired by reading. And I'll give you an example of this. This is a shocker to me. But are you aware that universities now are reporting that students are avoiding signing up for classes that require a great deal of reading, like literature classes? That is a spooky thing. And having this kind of mile-wide, inch-deep understanding of what is going on in the world is a frightening thing. So anyway, I'm going to continue with this thought. I see I'm a little bit over time, so we'll stop and check in with Annie Roberts. Tony Dale sitting in for Bob McLean. We'll get to some of your texts coming up right after this, too.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Howdy, how are you? Good Thursday to you. And so I have been remiss and apologies for that, but I need to get to some of these texts, and there's some good ones in here. So we'll get to it on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Been hearing Omar all day saying that America doesn't live up to our values. Well, didn't we welcome a Somali refugee into our country? Actually, not only did we do that, but now there's all sorts of evidence coming out that she came in illegally by marrying her brother, and apparently had lied about it. And there's evidence coming out about this. But of course, you're not hearing any of that on the mainstream press because the diddly squad is busy trying to tell us that anyone who disagrees with them is automatically a racist. I mean, these are the same people. I mean, you can't even make this up. Was it last week we had all of these college students and Antifa bunch protesting the Holocaust Museum and calling the Jews, the Holocaust Museum, racist because they were informing AOC that there was no parity between what's happening on our border and what happened with the concentration camps. I see a lot of those documentaries on the Discovery Channel about what Hitler and World War II. I never saw any of them where the Jews were breaking in and climbing the fence to get into those concentration camps. So obviously, that's quite a different thing. Let's get to a phone call. We'll be the first caller of the day. Jerry, how in the world are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored and just having a ball.
Awesome. Hey, I'm a young guy. I'm a millennial black guy here in Spartanburg. I call Bobby Mack quite often, and I've spoken with Vince a couple times too. I love to call in on certain issues, so this is one of them that I really want to take a quick moment to just speak on. So basically, we're dealing with the issue of the send her back, and you know, some of the Americans are saying that's a very racist comment. Some Americans can look at that comment and say, you know, well, basically she deserves it. You know, when it comes to racism in this country, Mr. Dale, as I've spoken with Vince before, I strongly feel that is actually pressed on more from the black community than it is the white community. I heard yesterday on the radio someone said Reverend Jesse Jackson once said, our people cannot be racist because we do not have the power to do so. That is extremely incorrect. I believe that the black community, not the entire black community, but ones that scream racism, such as this quote-unquote group or whatever you want to call them, I think that's something that they can just use as a ploy because really there's no true defense there. I also heard something on the radio yesterday. They said about Mr. Trump, who I think is a great president. They said that since they cannot go against his policies, since they cannot go against his great booming economy, since they cannot go against the military that he is reinforcing, they have to go against cultural issues such as, number one, racist, number two, going after his thoughts on the other gender, and finally the third being religion. We all know that he speaks on his religion, so the first two are only two that they can go after, racism and his dealings with women. All these are ploys, Mr. Dale. But here's the problem that I see. A lot of people that listen to this radio station, such as myself, should have clean common knowledge to be able to understand that these things are just words that are being said to try to alter our thoughts and make us look elsewhere. So basically, here's the problem, though. In my world, in the millennial world, in a large portion of black America, Mr. Dale, it's working. And it's working quite conveniently. I check social media sometimes, not quite often. And the things that I read are quite appalling because it shows me that the things that AOC does, the things that Pelosi does, they're actually working, Mr. Dale, to a certain group of people. So I think every time that I call, I hope that I'm reaching out to other millennials that may be listening to this show, like myself. I like to challenge people to read and to research on their own because a lot of the things that we are given are basically the thoughts that are thoughts of others that they want to portray through us as well. So I just believe that we really have to become stronger. We really have to do our own research and not allow certain name callings or things like that, such as racist or misogynist. You know, the list goes on. If we can't talk about policies in this country, then, Mr. Dale, we have a very long road to go, and I just think that we need to reach as many people as we can because, honestly, as many of the jokes as I hear about AOC, you know, she's doing a great job for the Republicans. She is for sure. But we also have to understand there are a lot of misinformed people in this country, and the words that she may say or Ms. Clinton may say or any one of that stature may say, they take it as truth. And that's something we need to work on.
Well, because that truth is everywhere on social media. That falsehood, sorry, would be a better word for it. But you are hope. I am glad to hear. It gives me hope to hear that there are young people like yourself, particularly a young black man that is willing to speak truth to your peers, because that can't be easy at times. I know there's got to be social pressure, and. By staying informed, you at least are in a position to try to change minds and get people to investigate a little more deeply. But, Jerry, gosh, what a great call. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Wow. See, there are some good ones out there. And with time, we hope that maybe he can convince some of his friends to listen to talk radio, among other things, where at least they will find out that there is another school of thought and not just spend their time with confirmation bias reading things that they're already programmed to believe. Well, I believe it is just about time for another break. Indeed, it is. And therefore, we will do it. When we come back, I will get to more of your texts, hopefully some more of your calls. Tony Dale sitting in for Bobby Mack. Back after this.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, howdy. So glad that you're here. And I'm going to try to get to some of the stuff I have, but I do want to get to some more of these texts because it's easy to fall behind. It's amazing how quickly these texts, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line fills up. But here's one. Hey, Tony, I would like to ask that Omar lady, what would happen if she were to say the things that she said about President Trump about the leader of Somalia, the country that she fled from? Oh, golly, well, I kind of think we all know the answer to that. And I remember telling my grandson, if you don't like it here, go back where you came from. I'm just saying. That's, of course, his own family member. But political correctness and achievement awards, nobody can put their foot down about anything anymore. And we would not want to offend anybody, and then we could just continue in this downhill spiral of political correctness. We need to put an end to it, and we need to do it immediately. It only compounds and gets worse over time. So I want to... Donald Trump, last night, basically, all he did was speak truth. Here's what he said, and this is about the point at which somebody in the audience, not Donald Trump, began to say, send her home. But Trump said, Representative Omar blamed the United States for the terrorist attacks on our country, saying terrorism is a reaction to our involvement in other people's affairs. She smeared U.S. service members involved in Black Hawk Down. In other words, she slandered the brave Americans who were trying to keep peace in Somalia and protect the citizens there, of which she was at the time. Omar minimized the September 11th attacks on her homeland. She said that some people did something. Well, I don't think so. Some people did something? Yeah, some people did something, all right. She pleaded for compassion for ISIS recruits attempting to join a terrorist organization. Trump, what he's referring to here, just so you'll know, when she was a state representative in Minnesota, a number of young Somali refugees, people who were now who had come over here from Somalia, joined ISIS to go fight against us, were convicted of doing this, and she sent a letter to the judge for sentencing saying that he should show leniency to these people. Well, okay. So what exactly, then, have we unleashed here? What is underway here has the potential to get pretty serious pretty quickly. And creating this divisiveness that is being done by the left, I defy you to give me proof that it is the right, that the conservative side that's been out there beating people up in the streets and doing things. Well, we have domestic terrorism from Antifa. And you may know about this, but over the weekend, we had an actual terrorist event. A guy, Van Sporensen by name, said, I regret I will miss the rest of the revolution. I strongly encourage my comrades to arm themselves. I am Antifa. This he did as he proceeded to try to firebomb a facility in Portland, a ICE detention facility, and was shot in the process of doing this. And what do we get? AOC, Ilhan Omar, and all of the rest of that squad were asked to condemn this terrorist act, a real terrorist act. They would not do it. So are those, therefore, people who love this country? No. The one thing that they all have in common is a very obvious dislike for this country and all that it has stood for. The greatest country in the world, to them, is something that is terrible, sick place that needs to be changed. And their idea for changing it, of course, is to do it through what they call democratic socialism. And that is something worth having a conversation about, what the heck that is. And that's something we'll, in fact, we'll talk about that later. But listen, I had a story, I did it on our Saturday and Sunday shows, about Antifa openly saying it is time for us to arm ourselves. For too long, the people on the right have had the guns. We need to get the guns. Well, this is the first example of what is underway. And I ask you, just think about this during the break, which is coming up. No matter which way the election goes, if the election is, I pointed out, is stolen, thanks to Silicon Valley and the libs running all of that, if they're able to do pull some kind of crazy stunt, then the people on our side won't stand for it. But if Trump is reelected, which I think is highly possible, I am very hopeful about this. But if that is to occur, if you think this coup that's been underway for the last 3 years is something, you just wait. There will be people in the street, and there will be violence as a result of it. We are heading toward a reckoning here. I don't know how you could avoid it, and especially when you've got people like the Squad here and others throwing gasoline on this fire and creating this discord between what should be fellow Americans. I mean, this is tragic stuff. It really is. And I really wish I had a simple answer and solution for this. I don't know. Well, the only answer would be Christian behavior, which is to love your enemy, to try to approach everybody with love and kindness and fairness. Well, that is, even Christianity and those values now are being called into question and denigrated by the left, which is a completely secular movement. I mean, Christianity itself is been under attack for a very long time, and that too is ramping up. So there's never been a more important time for you to be involved, and I should say also be informed enough so that you can, when you talk to somebody from the left or somebody that's ill-informed or misinformed and all they hear is from the mainstream press and they think that's truth, you need to be in a position to correct them with facts. And the only way you can do that, and you're doing it, if you're listening to the show, you're already doing that, but to stay informed and dig deeper. Well, on that cheery note, I'm Tony Dale, sitting here for Bob. We have 3 more hours of this. Love to hear from you. But right now, let's hear from the lovely Annie Robards and find out what's going on in the news and also traffic and weather. Some heavy-duty stuff going on out there. The recovering meteorologist in me is a little bit interested. Be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.